Assalamu alaikum, this is Baba Ali, otherwise known as Ali Ardakani, and here's my story on how I came to Islam. About 15 years ago, I was 20 years old, and I came to a point in my life where I was actually looking for answers. A lot of my friends were getting themselves in trouble. One of my closest friends got arrested for doing some illegal activity, and I was kind of like, it woke me up. I was around a lot of bad people, a lot of bad friends. And being surrounded with a lot of bad people gets you in trouble as well. So eventually you see yourself, your friends either getting constantly in trouble or in jail or, twice in my life I've been shot at. And my car was actually shot at. And it kind of like woke me up and says, either I'm going to be in jail or I'm going to be dead by the age of 21. So I came to a point in my life, I started deciding to go and start searching for the truth. So I started studying different religions and trying to see what's out there and seeing what different lifestyles are out there. And then as I had been going through the whole process, each time I came to a religion I found a problem with it, I decided to drop it and go on to the next. The reason why is I figured if the creator of all mankind is perfect, then his message should be perfect. And if there's any errors or mistakes in it, then this is not from the Creator. It's either been altered or it's from somebody else. So I kept going through one religion, through another religion, through another religion, and finally I came across Islam. When I came across Islam, I was about to go to a camp to see what this whole thing was about. But at the same exact time, I had issues with my family. My father had a heart attack and his arteries were clogged. And he had to go to triple bypass surgery. And the doctors told us that he may not live. And my mother asked me to come to the hospital and spend some time with him because your father may pass away. So when I went to the hospital, I sat next to his, at that time, which we thought was going to be his deathbed. And I was just looking at him and I was thinking to myself, I could be in his position. He didn't see death coming. He doesn't know when he's going to die. Just like I may not know when I'm going to die. And I may be hit by a bus or die in a car accident or whatever. So if this Islam is the truth, I have to go follow it. If it's not, then I'll continue living my life as I'm living. So I told my mother, I'm going to go to camp and I'm going to go figure out see what this Islam thing's about. And she was completely against it, but I said, there's no choice about this. So at that time, I was pretty lost. I took my girlfriend with me to Islamic camp, not knowing that there's no girlfriend-boyfriend relationship. And that was an interesting adventure. Because when we first got there, this was the first time I actually seen men and women separated before. And the only other time I've ever seen it was when I was watching in history class where the Nazi camps were, where the women were separated and the men were separated and the women went to the showers and they never came back because they killed them in the shower. So I kind of got scared, like, don't go to the showers, don't go to the showers. So it was strange for me. And everything about Islam was strange for me. Because I've never seen anything like this before. Many people think just because my name is Ali and I'm from Iran, you must be Shiite and you must be Muslim and you must be this. And that wasn't the reality whatsoever. I grew up in a very, very, very extremely secular family. Religion was almost hidden away from me. I had no idea what Islam was about at all. If you ask me how many gods there were, or who was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would have zero idea. I just know that there was a picture of him I seen in frames, and people have Qurans. Persians, they usually have Qurans at home, and they put money in it for good luck and stuff like that. And they just take money out during Persian New Year, which has nothing to do with Islam. So, and they kiss it after they walk under three times for superstition reasons when they go on travel. So that's the only thing of Islam I've ever seen. So when it came to like actually be a practicing Muslim, this was completely strange for me. So at this camp, I was a troublemaker, and they told me that of all the people who ever come to our camp, they told me this later on, you were the worst. And there's troublemakers that come, but you were by far the worst. And I would, you know, there's good kids and bad kids, and there's some kids that would take the good kids and make them bad. I was one of them. So, I would go and throw snow at people while they're sleeping in their beds to wake them up. It was just chaos. Eventually, I got so tired of causing so much chaos, being such a bad menace, that I got exhausted, and it started snowing so much at the camp that I decided to go sit down and listen to a lecture. And as I was listening to a lecture, I actually started listening to what the speaker was saying. And it caught my ear. And being a biology student and trying to go into medicine, you really, really try to study the creation. And when you study it and study it and study it, you realize that things don't just come out of nowhere. Now, science has its answers, saying that, for example, like when the Big Bang Theory or through explosions and all these things, that life can exist. But when I've seen things blow up or see explosions on television, I've never seen something come out of it, like a glass or a Coke can or something just come, like a computer or a television, just come out of nowhere through explosions. So the whole random molecules all come together theory doesn't really make sense to me. So when they were explaining Islam and what Islam says about creation, what Islam says about the rules of being good to your parents and doing this and doing that, it started clicking. Things started making sense. And I was like, wow, this is very interesting. Then he discussed the political system, the social system, all these different systems, the economic system in Islam. I said, wow, this is not just a religion, it's a total way of life. You know, it's everything, from the way you treat your wife, to the way you go to the bathroom, to the way you eat, to the way you do business. This is a whole complete package. While other religions that I was looking at was just spiritual. You know, at that point I started looking into Islam and I was like really, really excited. And by the next morning I was convinced that I'm going to follow this. And I realized what the price was. The price was, if you're going to follow the truth, you can follow this, you have to sacrifice some of the things you love. Which means all the bad things I was doing, I have to sacrifice. Having a girlfriend, I told her that as of today, either we get married or it's over. And it sounds easy to say now, but when you're in a relationship with someone for many years, and just you make this decision overnight, it's very difficult. So at that time, that was my first thing I had to sacrifice. And next step after that was like all these certain friends. You know, that's one of the big things. Even as Muslims, people who are born Muslim, I see, you can be a very, very good person, but if you surround yourself around bad people, slowly it will affect you. So I realized that this is going to start making a difference for me. So I came from a guy who was very popular, very this and that, and then suddenly started to become almost alone because a lot of either bad people didn't want to hang out around me or I didn't want to hang around them. So I came home and announced that I became Muslim. And when I announced I became Muslim, I thought my parents would be really happy. No more girlfriend-boyfriend relationships, no more yelling back at us, no more mistreating us, no more doing all these bad things. Instead, it was the exact opposite. My dad started hitting his head against the wall, my mom started screaming, there was a lot of fitting in the house, to the point that I decided to pack up my bags and leave. I said, there's no way I can be a Muslim and practice Islam in this home. And that was a big problem because I was raised a very comfortable life. And I was the kind of kid that his clothes were made from every morning, and his lunches and breakfast and dinner was made from. I was a spoiled kid. I live in a home that you don't even lock your front door. You can put your keys in your car, leave the door unlocked, and go to sleep like a baby. You never have any worries, no concerns. You don't see police officers, they're like celebrities. And I moved out of this home and I moved into a flat, an apartment, that is very dangerous, extremely dangerous, because this is all I can afford. My neighbors were drug dealers. I hear constant gunfire. A person who came to visit me had a shotgun pulled on them. When I went across the street to the gas station, the guy walked up to me asking me to buy drugs off me, even though it was crazy. The whole experience was crazy, and I think to myself, SubhanAllah, what did I get myself into? You know, what happened? Now all these people around me, I have nothing. But for the first time in my life, I actually had peace. I had tranquility. I had something that no matter how much money my parents had and how much things that I had back home, I never had. And it was something that's priceless. You know, living in Los Angeles, this is where I live, and being only a few minutes away from Hollywood, and I oftentimes see stars and movie stars and many people you see on television. And you see them and you think, wow, they must have everything. They got everything they wanted. They got their fame, they got their homes, they got all these things, that got their money, got their cars, got all these things that you see, and you think they're happy. But then and you read the tabloids, they got divorced, and they so-and-so cheated with so-and-so, and this person committed suicide, and you say, what happened? Then you go to another person, maybe sometimes into a poor country, and you see children, and they're very happy. Why are they content? What makes them content? You know, I learned that the only way, and the only source, and the only possible way to have peace in your heart is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you. And when we say assalamu alaikum to each other, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, this is truly a blessing. And alhamdulillah, I got that peace. So even though all the material things was taken away from me, I had something that was priceless. And I held on to it. And I realized, just like when you go to a university, you're going to get test after test after test after test, you're going to be tested. And tested before you get that little piece of paper that has your name on it and says, you have passed. And what do you do with that piece of paper? You go get a career, you get a job, and even then, it's not guaranteed. The economy could be bad, you can pass away or die before you get that job. So you worked all that for possibly nothing, or possibly something. So when I became Muslim, that's when you would think that life would become easy. But I realized that these tests were harder than anything I've ever gone through before. It was test after test after test. Problems with my family, problems with the ex, problems with friends, problems with my closest friends. And I realized, wow, from now to the day I die, I will constantly be tested and tested and tested, because what I'm working for is far more valuable than a degree, is paradise. And those who've come before me have been tested, and those who want the highest agenda will constantly and constantly and constantly be tested. So I realized that, wow, what have I done? But it's priceless. And if I want something priceless, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need my money. He does not need any, there's no way I can get it, buy it, or I can, my status, all these things means nothing. At this point, it's only my good deeds that are going to be something that's going to be worth any value. So my life changed completely. And I decided to start doing things for good. And alhamdulillah, it's been many, many years now. And I took those little tools that I had that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me as gifts, and I sat in front of a camera and started giving my message out to the Muslim community. And what started off as just me sitting in a chair like I am right now, in a video camera like I'm the one I'm looking at right now, led on to getting millions and millions and millions of people watching about issues that affects Muslims all around the world. Nearly 7 million video views. And we think to ourselves, okay, what's the big deal of me talking to this person or that person about Islam? You know, before, as I was mentioning before Islam, my best friend was Muslim, but I never really knew it. And he never, ever explained Islam to me. So I was surprised when he told me that he was Muslim, because all these illegal things that he was doing and I was learning was from him. But many years later, I learned about Islam through some random people I've never met before. And they explained Islam to me, and I took it overnight. And what we learned through Islam is that when you teach someone something good, you can get reward for when that person does something and does something. So maybe the people who taught me Islam, and if I get any reward out of all the videos I've made, and all the millions and millions of video views and all these things, that person who taught me the basics, may Allah reward him as well. So it makes a big, big difference. Even though sometimes you think to yourself, oh, it's okay, it's just a regular guy in school, or a regular guy who's just asking me some questions. You say, oh, you know what, I'm not the best Muslim. That's not going to be an excuse on the Day of Judgment. So if there's any reminder, it's this, inshallah, that you're going to, on the Day of Judgment, that all these things are going to come up. Every deed and every person you spoke to, everything's going to come up. So if I'm hopefully going to be, this will be, inshallah, a good example. So if this is our responsibility, that even especially after 9/11, all these, the microscope is on us. So it's very, very important in how we act, how we speak, and how we behave, inshallah. This is Ali reminding you, just in case you forgot. Assalamu alaikum.